Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay. Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Anna. God, I love that banana Anderson.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Hava Nagila Weber. Ashley Savoni. She don't take no baloney.
Hot dang. It's Jessica Dang.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster,
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony,
Hillary Parker, the Parkersaurus,
Give 'em Hell, Miss Noel,
the Incredible Edible Matthews Sister,
and Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me is a lovely, lovely person. If you don't know him, you're about to meet him. It's Ronnie Karam from the Rose Bricks Bachelor Roast Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
Hi. Get your full-on Texas accent out today.
It's because I was looking over comments from Real Housewives of Dallas. Mother!
Mother! So many exciting things happening in the world of Crappens. The tickets for our second Charleston show went on sale this morning. I think most of them are sold out. Don't take my word for it, but I think only the VIP tickets are left. So if you want them, come get them, and you'll be automatically a VIP. So that's at watchercrappens.com. And of course, in 2 weeks from today, we are in Seattle. It's going to be a super fun show. I guess we have to decide what we're going to cover there. We'll let you guys know. We'll blast it out on social media. That will be an amazing show because it's Seattle, and I'm going to come dressed like Frasier. So look forward to that. And then we have Nashville in December. So watch
your Roz.
Please. Oh, my God. Frasier and Roz. We'll have a little cup of coffee and we can have a surprise visit from Lilith. We'll have the dog. Ooh. Everyone.
Oh, Eddie.
I know, Eddie. His real name was Moose.
Yeah. Then after that, we're going to Nashville in December. So to get ticket links for all that stuff, go to watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, our new Christmas shirts will be available this Monday. So get your butt to the website this Monday to get your Christmas shirts. They're going to be hilarious. There's Christmas and Hanukkah. Because you know what? Like, who's gonna judge your religion here? No one, okay?
No one. Not a single person. So, yeah, super excited about all that. And I think there's... Oh. And here's something that's really, really cool. This is something that has just been finalized, like, 15 minutes ago. So remember how Ronnie and I were doing these videos on TV Party app where we'd like sit down and talk for like 15 minutes about what was going on Bravo and stuff like that. It was super fun, super, super cool. So we did that for about 12 weeks from May to July. Loved doing it. So TV Party is kind of like changing their vibe a little bit, but we're still going to work with them. So starting, I guess, I can't remember the start date. I think it's either next week or the week after that. Obviously, we'll keep you updated. We're going to be doing this thing where we'll be gabbing on TV Party app, sort of like Instagram Live. We'll go on, we'll stream, and we're going to do some fun stuff with it. Like, we'll do some viewing party sesh, you know, like Ronnie was talking about, maybe sitting down and watching Get a Room with Carson and Tom, and like turning on that TV Party app and streaming it and just like watching it, and then you guys
can write questions. Bueller's going to be there with us.
Bueller will be there. It might be something as simple as I am like waiting at the DMV, so I might turn it on and talk, which, you know, I would never stream live from the DMV, but stuff like that. So it's going to be really fun. Some of the streaming things will be just like anyone can watch, but we are also creating a new Patreon tier, and so we'll have certain things that you can only access via Patreon. There's going to be like a whole Patreon integration where like you link your TV Party app with your Patreon app, and if you donate at the certain tier, you can access our Patreon streaming experiences, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There'll be more details coming, but long story short, like, download that TV Party app and stay tuned for us gabbing with
we'll
you guys.
We'll be on there next week.
Is it next? I don't remember. Hey, we have an official start date, actually. There's literally a contract. So there is an official start date, and then then from then on, for the next 12 weeks, we'll be doing it. So it'll be super fun and a great way to interact with listeners and things like that.
Yes, and today, it's very classy day here, because it's Shaws of Sunset Day.
The classiest day of the week.
Oh, Shaws.
Shaws of Sunset. Yeah, let me just bring up my notes here, Ronnie. You would think I would be organized. Good. I'm looking at my note. The first thing we see on the latest episode of Shaws of Sunset is a full-on close-up of Mike driving and licking his lips. It was like,
ugh,
intense.
Yeah, I put Mike sticking tongue out in car.
Yeah. I was like, this is not how you open a show.
Yeah. That's okay.
It's not how you pull us in.
We don't need a close-up of Mike going like, like close-up, you know, looking at his Coke nose in the mirror.
Yeah.
While he's trying to drive his car and about to probably kill pedestrians in that thing. That thing is huge, okay?
Yeah.
This cannot be said enough. People with these giant cars, cut your crap. You're probably the same people who marched in the streets for me to get rid of my straws.
Yeah. Was I telling you that I saw a G-Wagon on giant, giant wheels the other day? Was I telling you that?
Yeah, they have, like, new wheels. Because like, it's not
up.
Big enough.
Yeah, it's not big enough. Okay, you know what, people? You're not Tamara Barney flipping things over in Glamis Dunes. Okay, you're driving down Martell Avenue. Okay, so just relax.
Yeah, good luck finding parking in Trader Joe's, idiot.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking up three spots, because, you know, like, on it, parking perfectly with those cars takes up two spots, but you know these douchebags do a whole diagonal thing, and it's like three full-on spots.
Yep, and then some keys.
And then and then they get mad when a shopping cart accidentally just like rolls into them and gives it like not even a real ding.
Accidentally. I mean, how many times have you seen one of those big cars with tons of shopping carts? That's the world I want to live in, where people are just like, fuck that car, and just like roll their You know what? I'm not going to advocate violence, okay? Because then people are going to do that, and then I'm going to get blamed for it at the end.
Yeah. But I advocate giving nasty glares towards, like, Mike, you had, right, it's a formal complaint to us. Like, I had this beautiful car on giant wheels, and now it's, like, got lots of dings because people are sending their carts into them. That was my phone. I apologize. You guys didn't get email? I did. So, anyway, yeah. So, big cars, stupid people.
So, he's picking up Reza, and if his gigantic car doesn't make you think he's fly, then... And let's just listen to them talk, okay? Rez is like, what up, Playboy? And then Mike's like, what up, what up, what up? What up, what up, what up? Yeah, Playboy! It's like, oh, God, you two. Yeah, you're both 25, rolling around Sunset in your goddamn giant car, okay?
I am so street. Look how street I am. Bitch be like, I lost 40 pounds, but I gained 130 tons of new car to sit in.
Oh, tons of fun. Ba-da, 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 bum, boy.
Let's listen to LMFAO.
Okay, so this is this is what a sicko I am. So they go up to see Mike's duplex or apartment building or whatever the hell it is that he's bought. This property.
Shack.
Okay?
Yes.
I looked at the dry cleaning sign on the outside and then looked it up on Google Maps because I was like, I think I used to live
so
near there, because I did. I used to live in Little Armenia, okay?
Yeah.
Where everybody talks like Ramona.
Yeah,
and they're like, you want some yellow rice? Okay.
Would you would you like some pita bread? Okay. Would you like a kefta kebab? Sorry.
So I looked it up and I was like, wow, this just makes people want to live at Mike's place even more, because it's like one star on Facebook. It's like the worst dry cleaner ever. And yeah, it doesn't look like a very fun block. But there is a church across the street
Where is it? Cause when I looked at it, I thought maybe it was Echo Park, because he was saying like you could see Sunset Boulevard. It didn't even occur to me that it might be actually in Little Armenia.
Yeah, it's on Santa Monica and Kenmore.
Okay.
Stalkers. So I'll go there, stalkers. And even in the Google Earth picture, there were refrigerators outside the property. I was like, God, they're
even
really
Google
working
Earth
hard on this
like,
place.
No. Yeah. I mean, has it ever been more obvious that Mike is a slumlord? Like, blatant slumlord? Like, horrific. So he's talking about, like, so he has a duplex there, and he has the next property over, which is what we saw, which was the real dump. And basically, he wants to expand his duplex into that property and make it some, I don't know, he has some awful idea that's never going to come to fruition. And that's where Reza's like, Mike has lots of great ideas, but usually they're planned by me, and they're executed by me, and I put a little Hermes throw blanket on them, and they look at really good. They look really good in the end.
Reza is saying stop with everything in his being. I mean, Mike tells us, this is going to feed my children, my children's children, one day my grandchildren. I was like, how old do you think you're going to get? Yeah. You're already in your late 40s, fool. Go have your baby, or I'm assuming, okay? I'm just reading the rings on your face. Yeah. I don't know how old you are.
63.
But, you know, like, and he's like, they're going to put this on the mantle. I was like, what, the apartment?
Yeah.
Okay, but Reza is like, stop, don't do it, don't do it. And Reza's wearing a bright red suit, like a stop sign, and two octagon pins. It's like, yes. The guy can't be saying stop any more loudly than he is.
I know. I do, yeah. The way that Mike speaks with pride about, like, expanding his duplex as if he's, like, building, like, Balmoral or whatever it's called where Queen Elizabeth lives. Like, you are not building Downton Abbey, okay? This is not a legacy duplex. You are planning, at the best, even if you tear everything down and put up a very nice, beautiful, brand new, modern building, this is not going to be a legacy building that's for generations upon generations. Like, oh, remember Grandpa Mike when he put up this building that had in-unit washer dryers? Like
why do we have to live here just because your grandma built it? Like, yeah, it was Mike.
And you know he's a slumlord.
Eyeliner. Because, yeah. Do you know he's going to walk around with that eyeliner when he's like 80?
He's going to have all sorts of stupid innovations in his apartment. Like, annoying things. Like, instead of like a trash chute, it's going to be like a conveyor belt. You put your trash bag on the conveyor belt and just like rolls through the hallway until it gets to the trash bag downstairs. And you just put your bags out on it. And you're like, until it breaks, until your trash conveyor belt breaks. And then there's just trash in the hallway and you don't come to clean it up.
I like that you're so mad at Mike for his imaginary things. Also, you're giving Mike a lot of credit for building, because that sounds like a great invention. I'm like, wow, not taking out the trash?
I mean, no, but it would never work. It would never properly work.
He just throws it on top of Morgan. And he's like, look, I built a machine that takes out the trash. It's called a Morgan.
So then they show, like, he's at this, like, shitty... Like, I don't know if he was saying this as a joke, but I kind of feel like he was saying it for real. This shitty property with this decrepit old gate and some, like, chicken wire. And he's like, when I rent this place out, I say security and gated entrance. I'm like, you're the problem on Craigslist. Mike Manor.
You're why Craigslist has never become Craig's book. Okay, sir. I used to like that movie. Well, I still do. That movie, Queen of Versailles, with Jackie.
Yeah.
Where she's building this, like, the biggest house in America, but it never gets completed. Yeah. And they were talking to her for a long time on Bravo. Like, she'd show up on Watch What Happens Live, and I kept wanting her to be on some Bravo show, but it looks like they're going to have the House of Chouette instead. And yeah. You know what? I'm here for it.
Yeah, except the difference is you don't get to see the fireworks from Disney World. You just get to see fire from a trash can across the street.
That's you just get difference. To see the dry cleaner starting things on fire for the insurance.
Yeah, exactly. So Reza is just like, hey, Mike, sell this now. Sell it. The power of Christ compels you, and neither of us are even Christian.
Stop!
The duplex is like, the second floor of the duplex is like spinning around and then puking.
Oh, it could use a good purge.
It's the Linda Blair of buildings.
So next up, we have MJ and Tommy. MJ's style today is just bathrobe in every scene. She's wearing a different style of, like, night robe in every scene. This one's like a silk tied night robe.
Yeah,
she's got tons of them in this show.
Yeah. So they're at the lawyer to talk over the prenuptials. And MJ's like, I am the Susan B. Anthony of prenuptial agreements, which... doesn't really make sense to me. Like, I don't understand how those two concepts go together. Like, is she like the silver? She's like that dollar coin that, like, then got replaced by a Sacagawea. Like, I don't get it.
She was a women's right activist, but also known as the silver dollar. Was she on the dollar? I think she was.
I think it was the dollar, right? Because wasn't Kennedy on the 50-cent coin, which, like, where are those these days?
Well, I'm looking her up right now. She was...
She played a pivotal role
in the women's suffrage movement.
Right, yes, obviously.
You know, like, she's going to make Tommy suffer. But Susan B. Anthony was born into a Quaker family, which cracks me up. Because this scene starts with Tommy walking through, like, I'm so excited my ass is chafing already, huh?
If she's the Susan B. Anthony of prenuptial agreements, what does that make Tommy?
Just a guy with sweaty ass cheeks.
He's like the Pat Buchanan of prenuptials, I guess. I don't even know what that means. Just sounded fun.
I don't either. I was about to Google the guy who told me.
He's the Calvin Coolidge of prenuptials.
It's like, I'm rewriting the law in California to favor women. So she's talking about how she's not going to be hoodwinked, and she does an impersonation of her mom. She's like, do I look like I just came from the village behind the town, Emily?
Yeah.
But Tommy falls for it. He signs whatever she gives him.
Yeah.
And she said, she tells him, like, if you ever run away with the secretary, I'm going to cut your dick off. And I'm like, you're so sweet thinking Tommy's ever going to have a secretary for anything.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. Task rabbit at best. So, no, yeah.
Better respect your man, girl.
And then MJ is like, women of the world, ask for anything you think is fair. And if you are a woman, anything you ask for is fair. And guess what? If he wants to give it to you, just go ahead and sign it. I was like, as much as I make fun of MJ, I sort of think that's kind of cool. I'm like, what she says kind of resonates with me. I'm not even a woman.
Sounds good to me. Always have a prenup.
Yeah. So then we go to Destiny, who is up to her usual hijinks. This time it's boasting about the glory of Persian ice cream. I mean, she's like, who doesn't love ice cream? And on top of that, Persian ice cream. Oh my God, we love our flavors exotic, like saffron and rose water and cucumber and rose water and rose water. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, she's very into her saffron. She says saffron a lot. Saffron with pistachio? So Persian.
Remember when I stepped over that fire? That would not have worked well if I was holding the ice cream, because ice cream is cold and fire is hot. I have personality.
Speaking of hot, here's my mom. Her nickname is Tiki, which I never really knew before. I don't know if it's just because I'm always taking notes while this is playing, or if this was the first time that we found out they call Tammy Tiki.
Oh, I didn't know that. But Tiki, you know, it's funny because Reza's dog is Tiny, so there should be Tiki and Tiny. They should have a little show together. It'll be like T.I. and Tiny.
Tiki, Teeny, Toony.
It'll be Reza at the Oscars.
Saffron.
Oprah Uma.
So Tiki comes over to the ice cream place and she's like, what happened to 31 flavor?
She's like, I just want chocolate. Why do you always get me saffron and pistachio? Like, I get it. It's cool. It's different. But, like, honestly, chocolate fudge brownie, who needs more? Who needs more?
Who must I blow for a peanut M&M around these parts?
How many times do I have to get on my knees in front of man in order to get a little almond praline, okay?
Really? It's like, geez, you gotta take your mom to Ben and Harry over there.
I like that we've just turned Tammy into a total slut for good ice cream.
Why not? We have to add something to Destiny scenes. I mean, Jesus Christ, she's talking about ice cream, okay? This is where we fall into.
Let me tell you something. Finding your father will be a real rocky road, if you know what I'm saying. Get me some good ice cream! Just turning her into Triumph. So Destiny has put
on... You are making me hot like a tin roof sundae.
You know what, Destiny? Stop talking about your father. I have a shell around me. A magic shell that keeps me...
God damn sherbet! It's like, Mom, stop cussing.
You will always be my little chocolate peanut butter cup sundae. Speaking of which, shall we go to Baskin-Robbins or...
So she's like, Destiny, she's all happy in the ice cream shop. And she's like, Mom, I have to do this. And then she starts crying to us. She's like, I have to get files for my mom. Then she almost inhales a bug. And you know what? Thank God to that fly for trying to shut Destiny up. What Destiny, I really like you, but please do something in your life.
Do something more interesting. I mean, like, I actually think the investigation is interesting, but all the crying around the investigation is, like, not interesting. Like, she's literally doing nothing but waiting for Monique to send her, like, a WhatsApp message saying, hey, found someone in Orange County, you know? Like, we need more than that. And so, like, you can put as many extensions in your hair as you want. It still is not going to substitute for an interesting storyline.
Yeah. By the way, if Monique gets run down in a crosswalk by the end of this season, you know it's Tiki who did it. Because she is not having any of this.
Tiki is getting so annoyed because Destiny's like, well, Monique found someone and it like might be my uncle, and I think he might be in Orange County. And Tiki is like, your uncle lives in Iran, has wife and children there, he's not in Irvine. She's like, no, but he may have moved. No. He's in Iran, and so Tiki's like, but why? I need you. Will you come with me? Come, I really, really need you to be there, you know, because if I were to get married, God willing, you'd be on this arm, and he'd be on that arm, and it'd be, like, so cool.
And the mom's like, yeah, fun raising you alone. Yeah. So that would be great. That would be great. Let's just give your dad credit.
Yeah.
Okay, after I did everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then... You know, I think she's just trying to throw her mom off her game because she makes her sit outside at the ice cream store in little... Well, maybe they're in Venice. I actually don't know
where they are. I assume they were in Westwood. I don't know where it was.
Yeah, I have no idea where they are, but this is so L.A. Wherever you are in L.A., there's always this person...
Yes, I know
exactly. ...pacing around behind you in a satin jogging suit, like a satin floral jogging suit, trying to look directly into the camera and finding a reason to go back and forth in front of the camera.
Yeah, that guy was so obvious with his stupid tracksuit. Like, you know what, sir? I know you're trying to get on camera, but you're only getting onto Shaw's of Sunset, so aim higher.
Yeah, this show is tacky enough, sir. Go inside and get your goddamn saffron ice cream.
Yeah, get your saffron ice cream. Now, my Persian ice cream place of choice is Mashti Malone's on La Brea, which is delicious. And if any Crappens listeners come to L.A., Mashti Malone's is so...
Close?
No, it's there. But, you know, the funny thing is I never get the Persian flavors. Not because I'm racist. I've tried them, and they're cool. But honestly, their chocolate fudge brownie is... just unparalleled. It is so good. Just go there, get the chocolate fudge brownie.
Oh, I love that ice cream.
I know.
It's my favorite kind. Well, one of them. I don't have a favorite
chocolate
kind.
Fudge brownie is your favorite?
I'm not going to do Persian. This to ice cream. Oh, no, just chocolate fudge brownie. I don't know. I don't know the difference between
They Persian also have a really good cookies and cream. Here's the thing. Like, saffron ice cream is lovely, and so is rosewater ice cream and orange blossom ice cream, and I get it. They're lovely, but, like, how do you compete with cookies and cream, bitch? How?
Oh, I don't like that. Well,
you don't like
I
cookies
do.
And cream?
I'm just saying you to argue. But you know what I really like? Mint cookie from Ben & Jerry's. Yeah. I find that delicious because I like mint chip.
Yes.
And Ben & Jerry's has that version. And, oh, I mean, you know, it is just delightful. What a delight.
Our friend Case, his favorite ice cream is like mint chip, but he also loves cookies and cream. And I wonder if he realizes that there is a – he always says his ideal ice cream would be like a mint cookies and cream, mint chip cookies and cream situation. And
There you go.
I feel like I have to tell him because that's a great revelation.
Yeah, you're going to make him a very happy case. Okay, case on the case.
A bitch needs to take a commercial break. Bitch be like, time for a commercial. That's so Persian.
Claim from £50 to £300 cashback on selected Samsung large home appliances. Participating retailers only. Purchase before the 6th of the 11th, 18. Claim 21 to 60 days after purchase. T's and C's apply. Visit samsung.com for details.
So next up, we have Nima just trying to destroy his mother for a little screen time. I mean, Jesus Christ, Nima. God. Yeah.
Nima and...
Such an asshole. He's like, his mom comes to visit, and he's like, Mom, what do you have on this suitcase? It's so heavy. Almost like the chip on my shoulder from you leaving me when I was a baby with Dad. I cheated on everyone I've ever dated, some on national television, because of you.
Yeah. Yeah, because she comes in, she's Pneumonia's mom, and she comes in and she's all excited. She's like, I lost 30 pounds. Look, I'm losing weight. Look, what a wonderful night. Nothing could go wrong now. And he's like, well, it's actually funny because it turns out that the way you and Dad raised me has caused scars that have lasted a lifetime, which is why I can't have a functional marriage. And that's why I got rid of Erica, because I tried to kiss another girl and wait to see the other girl. And she's like, that was very stupid of you. She's like, yeah, it was Gigi. Oh, that was very, very stupid of you.
Yeah, I'm not really into this whole I'm going to blame my douchey behavior on my parents. Now, well, their story is traumatic, and I'm not going to say that it wasn't. But come on, dude. I mean, you don't have to be raised by the best parent. It's like when people say, if you don't go to church, how do you have any morals? How do you know not to murder people? Like, it's pretty obvious that you shouldn't murder people, okay? Do you want to get murdered? No. Do you want to get cheated on national television? No. Okay?
I don't – I mean, I don't think – I actually am going to push back a little bit on this one.
Ow. Ow, it hurt.
Ow. What a pushback. And speaking of Ramona, we didn't even mention that Ramona and Mario are back together apparently. Oh, wow. So anyway, but yeah, that's all that. So, but here's the thing. Like, this divorce was like a fucked up divorce because the parents, according to Nima, the parents told the kids, like, you get to choose which parent you want to live with. So Mona, who is 2 years old, hugged the mom, so the mom took Mona, and then Nima, he's like, Nima's like, well, clearly at 4 years old, I was upset about how distraught my father looked, so I went and hugged him, which I feel like at 4 years old, you don't register that stuff. So that's how the parents decided which child should be with which is, like, so fucked up and, like, ridiculous. I actually believe that there really was some sort of, like, mental scarring, emotional scarring as a result of that. It doesn't mean you cheat, but Nima technically he didn't cheat. He just said he wanted a kiss Gigi, but he didn't
just
do it.
He humiliated this girl on national television.
And
like,
yes,
just because he got on a TV show.
But you know what, though? Good for her, because she was like, bye, and she didn't come crawling back or anything, which I think is good. But I think that all in all, as far as Shaw's The Sunset People go, Nima is like, he's doing pretty well. Like, he actually seems like he seems smart. He's educated. He has a nice style. So he has some, like, personal issues, whatever. But, like, I don't think it's like, I don't think he's really.
I think he's like a nerd trying to hang out with the cool kids and, like, doing dumb shit because they're.
He
doing
is.
It.
And he I don't is, like that. But I think I would have more of an issue if he were a total disaster, if he was like a Mike and he was blaming all his shit on his parents. I think he's more like pretty functional and, like, highly functional as a person. He just has issues in relationships that he's now realized there's a correlation between the life that he grew up in. So I'm not gonna get too mad at him. I get more mad that he's so attracted to Gigi, which I don't understand.
Yeah, he's trying too hard.
Yeah.
So the mom cries and he's like, it's not your fault. What I'm saying is it's just your fault. Okay, yeah. We'll get over it. I'm like, you're a dick. Okay, so Adam arrives. Adam just kind of flails into Asa caftans as he does.
We're at their new house.
Oh, at their and Adam flails in.
He flails into the new house, though. He does sort of like sachet, his weird like Adam sachet that he does, you know, like the hands go like left and right, but the butt goes left. He does this little thing,
he has
like a waddle.
It's like he's waving, it's like he's shaking his hand. I don't know, I'm doing it right now, but you can't.
Yeah,
see
I'm doing it too.
Kind of squatting off bees. Like he comes in like, hi!
It looks like when he's walking, he's also trying to like adjust where his balls are in his underwear at the same time, you know? He's like, you know, like if you're a guy, if you're listening, you know, like sometimes if you have a quote unquote bat wing situation or whatever, you sort of have to take like these weird wide like steps to sort of like shake everything out, make sure everything's like aligned properly. And I feel like he's like constantly, he's like, okay, a little step there. And I can't believe it's a little tight in there right now. You know,
I just always write Adam flails in.
Yeah.
Like later on, I wrote that he's like the Thanksgiving turkey that the president puts out on Thanksgiving. Yeah. You know how they're like, save a turkey. It's like they're just putting it down. It's like flailing out of their arms.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
I do feel like he has a slight lack of awareness about his body, much like I do in terms of like space and speed. Like he will sort of like enter through a door slightly faster than you would expect, you know, like you sort of expect him to like knock over a display in a grocery store by accident.
Yeah, those pyramids made out of cans are definitely not safe. Don't put those near the entrance to any grocery store that Adam shops at.
Yeah, like when it comes to like Super Bowl time, like Adam has to stay away. I mean, when they set those like arches of like Diet Cokes, it's like, keep Adam out of the supermarket. He's like, oh, I'm just going to go in and get some groceries. Oops.
So he's like, honey, look at the house. And Russ is like, only 10 weeks more. And then we're going to have twins, right?
Yeah. He goes, where are we with our budget? And Rez is like, our budget? Don't you mean my budget? And he's like, no, we're married. So, like, what's yours is mine. What's mine is yours. He's like, well, when will you be cashing more checks for our budget then?
Yeah, Reza's still in this place, like, I don't know where he's getting this impression that I want to share things, share my life, raise babies together. Like, you probably shouldn't have gotten married, dude.
I know. It's weird because normally I would be on Adam's side. Like, really, like, once you're married, like, it really should be. Like, it's all going to the same place. So who matters? Well, does it matter if it's your money or Adam's money? But for some reason, I keep finding myself siding with Reza on this, which is so weird.
Yeah, I don't pick sides on things like this. I just kind of bitch about them.
I think well, that's perfectly healthy. I think the reason why maybe I like take Reza's side a little bit is because it feels like Adam is constantly nagging Reza. At least that's how he's edited, which is hilarious. He's probably not like that in real life, but like he's constantly edited as like shown as nagging about babies, about this. He drops the emerald or whatever. And so you sort of feel like, you know what, Adam? You know what? Like, how about you start, like, why don't you rise up to, like, stop nagging and why don't you contribute to? Which I'm sure he like, works in post-production on, like, The Walking Dead or something. So, like, he probably
is making... American Horror Story. Oh. Well, I'll tell you this, okay? I don't care what I do and what you do. If we're married and you spend 500 grand and not tell me, and you do shit like that, I'm sorry. You're going to be fucking dead, okay?
I know.
Dead. You will be The Walking Dead. Not you personally. I just mean...
You're right.
Future Mr. Karam out there.
No, you're right, which is why it's weird that I'm taking Reza's side. I'm just, like, basically falling for the editing. Because I know, like, I'm in a relationship... And I feel very much like, I don't feel like, oh, I spent this much, now he has to spend that much. You know, I am, like, happy if I need to, like, if it's a situation where I can, like, if like, let's say he's been out of work for, like, 3 months, you know, if it was a situation like that and I had to pay more for something, I don't even think twice about it. I don't even care. And I think most people in relationships are like that. They're, like, happy to help their partner when their partner like is not help their partner, but like happy to like take on more of that because you know, like that's the nice part of being, yeah, about being in a relationship. Well, and it went the other way Rez around.
I don't know that Rez is even that worried about that because he married someone poorer than him. Like he was already on TV, you know, and had a successful business. So I think he's just trying to not have babies.
Yeah, like, exactly. No. That's all it is.
And then Adam knows that, okay? Like when your man tells you straight up, no, 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 even though he is kind of telling him in a... He's always like, later, 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 but God.
Skater, skater, like, skater, skater.
Okay, guys, can I take your order? Sure, I'd like chicken wings and a baby.
Yeah.
But I guess you can't get me that right. When is it time, Reza?
Yeah. Reza's like, I've told you, once the contractor says there's no more payments to be made on this house, then the condo will go on the market, and from the money that we get from selling the condo, I am going to invest it in an inflatable tube company, and then we'll see how much money we make from that, and then we'll consider going into waste management, and then we might get some baby shoes from Mike.
When I'm old enough to start cheating on you and need the stem cells to make my face look younger, I will consider having a baby to take the stem cells from its spinal cord and inject into my face. Any more questions?
I have told Mike that I want him to come over with his true gold baby shoes and put one on each of his fingers and walk around the house and see how I get used to the sound of little feet in the house. And if I like it after 3 weeks, then we'll consider it.
Oh... So then Adam's like, okay, honey, well, the money thing we'll just figure out. And he's like, no, I'll figure it out by making the money. And he's like, I'm not going to talk about this. Gotta go. Bye. Bye, baby. Yeah. Bye.
And Reza, by the way, he peppers in a little stuff about, like, I'm predisposed to divorce. My family got divorced. So I'm afraid of commitment. Blah, 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 blah. Like, no, you just don't want to have a baby.
Yeah. You know, look, as someone who's blamed everything on my parents my entire adult life, I kind of approve that there's a whole cast on Bravo doing it.
Yeah.
It's like every single person in here blames their parents for something, you know? And part of me is just like, that's part of the privilege of growing up in our day and age. Like, nothing is our fault. It's all our mother's fault.
Yes. Mother.
But the other part is like, you're old. Get over it. Stop blaming your parents.
So now Adam goes into Asa's boutique, and I wrote down Adam is strutting into Asa. So he clearly has a gait that we are picking up on.
I put Adam flails into Asa.
Yeah. He walks in like he's in the middle of a like he's in that big business montage when Sadie goes down Fifth Avenue. It's like, dun, 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 dun. You know? He's like putting on different shoes and trying to impress the salesman in the window.
It's like Pretty Woman. If Pretty Woman just wanted shapeless, you know, Roby looking thing. It's like if Mrs. Roper was every person in the army and we went to war with Bermuda. You
know? Except I feel like Adam's version of like Big Mistake Huge would be him coming back into the boutique and saying, I'm back and well, you're busy. Never mind. Bye.
Yeah, never mind. Do you want to have a baby with me?
Big mistake. Huge. Oh, wait, there's no one around me. Damn it.
So he's looking at glasses and he's like, you can never go wrong with rainbows on a gay person. I was like, oh, God.
You actually specifically can. Like, it's actually the easiest way to go wrong. Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, and you got, yeah, exactly.
And then we get to see Asa. Okay, I don't care what anybody says, I miss Asa. Okay?
I was so
who
happy
else
to
is
see
doing
her
street art in burkas,
right? I was so happy to see her. And when you said I don't care what anyone says, like, but the funny thing is that you were the one who out of the two of us I think was more anti Asa. I know you liked her, but you also thought she was a raging asshole. But I really liked the balance that Asa brought, and without her there it just feels like the show is just, it's oddly thin now, you know? Not,
yeah.
Like, in terms of content.
Yeah, I'm sure we all knew that. As they're eating in every single scene, I'm sure we all picked up on that. So she's like, you know, life is crazy, but I'm still close with those in the group I was close with, like Adam and, I mean, kind of Reza. You know, it's a texting game.
Yeah.
Gigi, like, sometimes she sends me clown face and knife emojis. Mike never checks in, so that faded out. MJ, I don't want her near me, anywhere near me or my family ever, okay?
Shervin, last time I saw him, I just had him, like, take his giant car and roll over my front stoop just to make sure that $30,000 worth of gold that's down there is really cemented in.
So this is kind of an awkward scene, just because I think it's Asa and her store where she sells blankets that are $700.
Yeah.
Those, like, little blankets with a little tiny mirror things on them.
Yeah. They're like, they looked like not very warming blankets. So basically it's like a catch up time and Adam's like, so how's it like, what's it like, Mama June? And she's like, babe. It's like a different kind of babe life, babe. There's like literally a babe. Like when I say babe, like it's like, am I saying babe or am I saying baby? Like, I don't know. Like babe.
Has he spoken yet?
Yeah, he said babe.
Baby's like, babe.
Yeah.
Babe. Babe.
So now Adam starts talking about the baby situation with Reza and Asa's like, maybe he doesn't even want kids. Like, have you listen to a word he said? I'm like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, no, he doesn't want kids. He does not want a child. It's so obvious.
You think renovation is hard? No. Babies, that's hard. Babies, it's like a pinnacle of your life. Like, babies change everything. I was like, oh, God. I'm actually glad. By the time she got to, like, her baby talk, I was like, okay, I'm glad you're at least taking some time off from this show, because this would be insufferable if it was Asa's baby time.
Yeah,
because every scene would be her like, oh my god, babe, you wouldn't believe what it's like. It's so different having a baby.
Yeah. It's like you have like a little person to take care of. It's like, oh, congratulations, you're the first parent who's ever observed that. So then Adam's like, I'm sorry, I can't look at you, I keep staring at that blanket up there. She's like, oh, you want it? She's like, I'll take it. I mean, it's like $700, but it's like a gift. It's a gift from me to you. Like, housewarming. Like, oh, I couldn't possibly. I'll take three of them, please. Thank you.
I'll take 50,000 of those.
I couldn't possibly. Okay, I'll take some more.
Can I trade these for Reza's house renovations? I can have a baby.
You know, they kept that in there solely to reinforce the notion that Adam is cheap, right? When he probably isn't, but they've...
He's like, you know, I know Rez is not going to keep you warm with babies, so here's a blanket.
Here's a thin blanket made of felt, one layer of felt that I studded some broken glass into, so be careful. Don't actually touch it with your hands.
Oh, yeah, so her advice is like, he probably doesn't want a baby, and it's not fair for you to make him either.
Yeah.
So she gives him the blanket, and then she's like, here, take this little tiny teacup and a Coke spoon for Reza, okay? Tell him I'm thinking of him.
Yeah. So now we go to MJ visiting her fertility doctor for like the 20,000th time in the history of Shah as the Sun Set.
And even he said it. And by the way, I'm convinced that her doctor is Adrian Maloof. I mean, that face. Who does that? So he's like, I was looking at your file, and it's been 4 years since you've been coming here. I was like, oh my God, she could have gone to college.
I know, seriously, that baby could have been a president. You know, there's a full presidential term of baby time. So MJ...
Maybe
so
it will be one day.
Someday.
President Javid.
We'll see. We'll see. You never know. So, So basically, they were able to fertilize an embryo, and like, when the time's ready, they'll put it inside MJ and everything and get it going.
Yeah. He's like, well, you know, here's where we stand. We made eggs, we froze them, we fertilized them. And even at your age, they did well. I mean, we have one embryo. Now, granted, it's covered in hair, it's wearing a thong, and it was trying to eat through the Petri dishes like a buffet. But, you know, we're going to go with it.
Yeah. You know, the weird thing about that embryo was that it was telling the other embryos they were bastard embryos. Sort of weird.
It's the first embryo we've ever had to give a back wax to, which is crazy.
So,
MJ tells us, she's like, oh my God, I'm so glad I'm doing this with Tommy, because he's the first one. He showed me that special kind of love. And then they show a clip of them, like a clip package of them being in love. And they're at some hotel and he sees the bed and he's like, hey, babe, we can pork there.
This is where we can pork. Yeah, MJ. It is a special kind of love. So now we have Reza. Reza's back at the condo and he's with Marty, a.k.a. Teeny, a.k.a. Martini. The dog, and Miss Moo, the cat. I actually love Reza's little animal farm he has going on in there. Like, I'm a big fan of his animals. So he's there, and he's like, he got an invitation to go to MJ and Tommy's. He's like, oh, we have an invitation. It's a paperless post. And then Adam, like, comes through the door, and he just has, like, this giant box, and, like, the blankets, and, like, an ice cream machine, and a food processor. Like, I'm like, where did he go? He just comes in with so much shit.
No kidding. He just robbed all of Oz's, like Big Lots. Office store. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I got a litter box.
Yeah, he's like, I got moved new litter box. I saw my therapist today. And he's like, and she gave you an old ugly blanket?
Like, I mean, where would you get this from? This is from like a homeless shelter? It's from Asa. Oh, it's lovely.
Like I said. He did not seem very happy that Adam was over there talking to Asa. He seemed kind of pissed off about it. He's like, listen, babe, you're not owed a baby because Asa has one, okay?
Yeah, because...
Just like I'm not Oda LaToya knocking on my door asking for extra jello.
Yeah, because Adam's going to try to do like some tough talk. He's like, okay, I'm going to sit down and stare at you and say, do you want a kid? Yes or no? It's like, Adam, how many... Like, so Reza goes, when? Adam's like, I don't know, 5 years from now. Yes, I do want a kid. Are we talking about a baby goat?
5 years. 5 years. I will do it in 5 years. Fine. But when are we going to talk about the plan? Because we've already talked about a plan. When are you going to say Reza's doing his part of the plan? You remember that plan where it was giving people better health care across America from the confines of Evine? Adam's like, wait a second, you asshole. But Adam doesn't. He's like, okay, let's go back to the plan, babe. And Reza's like, okay, then. What was the plan?
Well... The plan was...
We not having a baby. Great. Great idea, Adam.
Yeah. Ooh, so then we go over to MJ.
I do want to say, I thought what was fun, when Reza said, like, I'm not going to have a baby because Asa wants to have a baby. And Adam's like, but I do want to raise our kids with her. I'm like, oh my God, Adam. Like, it's like...
He's
like,
never going to give up.
I know. But it's like, man, I'd be going nuts, honestly. I'd be going so nuts if I were Reza.
Yeah, well, he married him.
Yeah.
So, next day, it's at MJ's party, and I don't know if this is one of those houses in the hills without air conditioning, but I'm very mad about it. Mm. Because she's very hot, and she's sweating all over herself, and that's what they do in the hills. Because everybody in LA is like, oh, you don't need air conditioning. Yes, you fucking do. Okay? Yes, you do.
You do, especially if you're going to be serving ceviche, okay, and cupcakes. You need that shit to be cold, all right?
Especially if you're dressing like MJ. I mean, good Lord. She's like, how do I get all these sweat spots all over me? And Tommy's like,
How'd you get ass wet under your titty, huh?
Yeah, so he goes outside. He's like, hey, Reza, you gotta help your girl out. She got serious boob sweat. You know when you see your armpit sweat and you're like, whoa, pit stains. But it's like pit stains, but under the boobs. You know what that's like? It's like a boob stain. It's like wet boobs. And Adam's like, oh, like Shervin?
Speaking of, he's on a motorcycle with Gigi coming up the hills, and she's screaming her head off, of course, like, I'm a girl!
And he's wearing his, like, leather vest and a tank top. I'm like, Sherv, why are you trying to, like, make us dislike you? Why are you doing that? You're, like, one of my favorites. Why do you push us away?
Because, you know, he's like a Persian Ken doll, you know? He's like, look at me. I'm on a motorcycle, the most expensive kind you can buy, and I'm in perfectly ripped jeans because, you know, hogs, brah.
Yeah, I don't know. So, Gigi brings some rosé to the party, and Rez is like, oh, rosé? Nima likes rosé. Do you and Nima choose out the same rosé? Rosé, Nima, I'm like, what? It's rosé.
Yeah, and she's like, maybe. So Nima comes in, and he's like, Adam's like, so Nima, what do you think about babies? Are you going to have one with Gigi and give it to me? Because I'd love to take it. And Nima's like, well, she was blowing up my cucks after that party the other day, but, you know, she still had a ring on. That's a problem. Adam's like, I'm telling. So he runs up to Gigi and he's like, wedding band, will you have my baby?
Yeah, and then there's like all this talk about, once again, the wedding band, and she was like not wearing the ring, but now she's just wearing the band or something like that. So Gigi's like, you know what, enough. And she throws the band in the pool, and everyone's like, oh my god, there's a band in the pool. And I was like, okay, cool.
Someone hired a band for one of these parties instead of just a girl waving her hands in the air by a speaker that's not on.
Yeah, so it was like a cliffhanger or something like that, but I was like, well, I don't know, you know. So so then Shervin's like, hey, has Mike been in touch lately with anyone? Has anyone heard from Mike? And
no, he was saying, everybody, I think that Mike's been a little touchy.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's been a little touchy. And then it's a little, like,
touchy.
I know what happened. I'll tell you. Morgan. Like, shocker. We all knew that. You guys were just together in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So then we get a clip, because poor Morgan is never going to get her proper screen time on this show.
No, she's like...
You know, bless her heart. I mean, I guess you don't normally film a dryer sheet, but here we are.
I was going to say, it looked like a hairdryer getting a manicure. But she was, like, getting a mani-pedi with MJ, and she's like, so basically, Mike, he always is like, I'm in my 40s, I'm not going to change, I'm set, I'm in my 40s. And then, like, he gets mad, and then he promises that he's going to change, and, like, he's not going to change. And it was, like, pretty impressive. Like, I'm just always shocked when Morgan says something, like, with, like, half a brain, you know?
Well, she's still got Tony Robbins in her head. That's, you know, right. Then she grabs MJ's butt.
That was Jessica who went to Tony Robbins. Excuse you.
Oh, it was Jessica? I thought it was Morgan.
I am enough. No, Morgan wants to see Tony Robbins. She won't even go to Baskin Robbins. Call back.
So Mike comes finally, and he's got flowers for everybody. And Adam's like,
roses? You know what happened last time somebody brought roses? Somebody got attacked by them, right?
Oh, I have a phantom scratch. Oh. It's like a phantom limb, you know? Like, he feels he feels the scratch. It, like, comes back on a full moon or something.
So stupid, Adam.
So we got to see a flashback of that, which is my favorite, because I could just watch that over and over again. Gigi coming running out that door and, like, running into Adam and going, ow, Gigi! Just, like, how indignant he is about it.
You assaulted my husband.
Yeah. So Mike gives roses to everyone, which is weird. And I was like, okay, what did Mike do? How did he fuck up? What shit has he been saying? You know? So he's like, I bring roses to everyone because I want to show how much I care. You know? Like, because, like, with friendships are fragile. Like, we love each other, but it's fragile. And, like, you have to, like, bring out the best in people. And, like, that's what I'm going to do, because I'm basically going to ask them all for $10,000 after this.
Yeah, no kidding. He's definitely coming for something. And I love that Reza and Mike hate Vita so much. He gives a speech. He turns his back right to Vita and stands right in front of her and then talks to the rest of the party.
Yeah. And so then Destiny's like,
that is pimp. That is so pimp that he brought us flowers.
These roses are so pimp. So pimp.
And
so
flowers are so yes.
He's Mike, and Mike's like, all right, but you know what, Reza? Hold on. I got a special gift for you. Okay, hold on 1 second. I got to make sure it came in. We were having some issues at Mexico, so hold on 1 second. So he goes back out to his car, and he comes back with like a little cat, and Mike is like crying. Mike is the one who's crying. He's like, I wanted to give you this cat because, like, I love you as like a brother, and you need a cat. And his name is Woody. I named him for you, so you don't even get the privilege of naming your own cat. His name is Woody. Here.
Just like the week that I lose a pussy, I want you to gain one. You know? Like, it only seems fair.
So Rez is like, oh my god!
Oh my god! It's a cat! Oh my god! Oh my god! And they're like, and it's a Persian cat, you know? And Vito's like, flat face! Flat face! Oh, there's good, good cat! Flat face! Flat face!
Oh, and then Adam's like,
did it come with a baby?
I know. See, here's how you can tell Adam.
Who does that? What a horrible thing to do to somebody.
Well, as a cat person.
Not a cat. I mean, just a pet. Something that's like alive and that you have to take care of. You don't do that. Like,
I'm assuming that Reza was talking about getting a new cat. But I do agree. I kind of feel like it should have been up to Reza to pick out his own cat. Maybe there's a backstory. Maybe they met this cat together or something and Mike got it for him. Because it is presumptuous. Like, I think only parents can do that to children. Be like, surprise, here's an animal.
Yeah. So Rez is like, Mike is an amazing guy. Sometimes he doesn't get to the water alone. But the thing is, he gets it.
He gets there eventually. I mean, it's more like a puddle. He'll get to the puddle, you know? Or like, you know when there's like a big swimming pool and then like you're in it and having fun and then you splash and then the water goes outside the pool and there's like a little bit of water and the cement by the pool? Mike gets to that water. He doesn't realize there's a pool, but he'll get close to it.
Mike's like the water filter in the pool. You know, he gets close to it and then he gets stuck inside of it. And then he's like, help! And then, of course, I have to redesign the pool filter so Mike stops getting sucked into them!
Like, we'll lead Mike to water, but the problem is that, like, he goes to, like, the gutter water. And, like, not the best water. Not the best. He doesn't like potable water.
You can lead a Mike to water, but you can't stop making him drink Wavatier.
You can lead Mike to water, but you can't stop him from fucking it.
Mike's like, oh yeah.
Oh, this water. He's just like, he found a drain pipe. He's like, yes. So I will say also, by the way, Adam, look at the enthusiasm that Reza has for a kitten. And then look at the enthusiasm he has for talking about babies. And that's your answer right there.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
You know?
He's like, oh my god, look, it'll never talk. It'll never take my money out of my account.
It'll never film a scene with Asa that I should have filmed.
Blanket. Sad blanket horns. So Nima's like, oh, Gigi, I'm insanely attracted to you. She's like, so you just want to fucking get it over with?
This is my elevator pitch to you right now. I have a lot of brands, and I understand how brands can blow up, and I want my brand to be my penis, and I want my market to be your vagina. What do you think about that?
She's like, you are all talk, mister. I'm like, you two are both boring, okay? No one is buying this.
Yeah, exactly. And Gigi's like,
move on.
She's like, I want to do whatever I want in the moment. If I want to fuck you in the moment, I'm going to make that happen. And Rez is like, you're making him hard by saying these things. I'm like, How is this conversation just happening poolside, like right next to Vita?
And why hasn't anybody gotten that ring? Someone get the ring.
It's literally a ring in the pool.
God, you can tell everyone at this party has a job. I would be in that pool in 2 seconds.
Is there like no net? Is there no like pool cleaning net that they can get that ring out with? It's just sitting there.
Just jump in there.
Yeah.
So Rez is like, yeah. You know, Gigi's had a rough time because that violent guy was a mess. You know, he was a disaster. And then we get another clip of Shalom just flipping off the cameras going, you want this? Ah! And he continues, but this guy, I mean, this guy's like the Persian Poindexter.
Okay? And everyone knows the little tongue and a little dick can fix a lot of things.
Well, not if it's a little tongue and a little dick.
Yeah, I wasn't sure who he was slamming with that.
It was just a general, it was just like a catch-all for his entire cast. You know, it's like, here, I'll just insult all of you guys. So now we go, MJ and Vita then head down to the Flower District here in Los Angeles to get their flowers for this wedding, which will happen some point, whenever. And I love, it's like, for some reason, it's like cold and rainy. I don't know how and why, but Vita has her like cold, right? Because it's like summertime and all of a sudden it's like middle of winter when they shot this scene.
Yeah, and MJ probably just had it set up so she could wear her night robe with a feather collar.
Yeah, and Vita is like doing her Marvelous Miss Maisel look. She's like in like a sequined coat with a little hat in the back. You know? Yeah. I loved it.
And then, of course, Vita, she's like, oh, it's Wellhausen. Like, I love that she's judging every little thing. And then she just walks through the whole thing going, no, ugly, dark, stupid,
tulip, no, rose, no, daisy, no. So
then the craftsy and blue whatever ladies come out, and they're like,
Her name is Carly Cylinder.
Carly Cylinder, really?
I was like, I've never heard of someone whose last name is Cylinder. Like,
I like it.
I'm Carly Cylinder, and here is my friend Joanne Rectangle.
Do not piss off Octagon. She's a bitch.
Oh my god, tetrahedron. So demanding.
Okay, way to end it. Just kidding. Of course I have nothing to add to tetrahedron.
Tetrahedron.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a pyramid.
Tiffany, but like, it's basically like the shape of Real Housewives of Dallas, Tiffany Hedron.
It's tetrahedron. Yeah, it's like Tiffany Hendra. No, tetrahedron is a square base that it's a three-dimensional object, Ronnie, like as much like a cylinder is, and it's like a square base, and then like there's a point at the top, like it's a pyramid with a square base.
Okay,
I think. Now I'm paranoid that I got my tetrahedrons wrong. I'm like, rhombus?
I was like, my eyes were crossing. I was like, oh my god, it's learning. This is hard.
Oh no, tetrahedron is only, it's a triangle. It's just triangles. A pyramid made of triangles.
Well, there you go. Everybody learned something today.
You guys, we learned it all. It's called a tetrahedron because it has four faces. I get it!
So Vita's walking through this store like, I do what I want. I am the boss. My mother was the boss. Who is the boss? My mother was the boss. I am like my mom. Boss.
Boss. Big boss. Big boss.
So then these ladies flat come face up and they're like, well, you know, of course we want to help you. It's like kind of last minute, but we're Blueprint and Craftsy in one. Let's do it. Yeah. And the mom's like, no. Hate it.
You cannot force me
to love it, okay? I have my own opinion, you know. I don't like that.
Because I can't make you love my flowers if I don't. You can't make me love an arrangement because I don't.
I am boss. That's basically the end, and the ladies have learned finally to deal with Vita because they're like, okay, thank you, ladies, for coming. We're going to make a very pretty arrangement, but thank you for your opinions.
Yeah, exactly. And then the episode draws to an end with Gigi and Shervin riding in yet another car, the least douchey of the cars we've seen from Shervin. And they're just like driving to downtown, and Gigi's like, we're like the only city where downtown is not the main attraction. And Shervin's like, you're really an idiot, aren't you?
She's like, come on, what other city? He's like, there's always Houston. Just so odd. I thought Houston downtown had a lot going on.
Houston. When we were in Houston, everyone was like, you're staying downtown? I'm like, yeah, sorry. Anyway, so
we ate at a steak place with a Bible verse on a big lit up sign outside.
Irma's Tex-Mex, where I had like a boar taco, which I really enjoyed, and some queso. Look at that. Houston downtown. It's back.
So Gigi wakes up and she's like, she said, I woke up today and decided today was the day I'm getting divorced because I've been working every day at this business and this is not going to be the thing that he takes from me, that little man. Yeah. He will not take it from me, that little shrimp.
Yeah.
It's like, damn.
Shrimp's not even kosher.
I mean, call him what you want, but supposedly that ring is $100,000+. So,
yeah,
you know, like, have some respect. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. This means that she's about to get a check and she doesn't want to split it. So she's finally motivated to get the divorce. And Shervin's like, yeah, but you have to, at the very least, like, stop wearing that that giant ring on your ring finger. Like, wear it on a different finger. She's like, fine. And she puts on her index finger, and then, like, 2 seconds later, back on her ring finger. Like, I don't think she has to give back the ring at all. I think she should keep it and have fun with it. But, like, don't wear it on your ring finger, though. Like, you're not engaged and you're not married. So, new finger, new life.
Okay, she was married for, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's true. They're all idiots.
Well, this was a fun one. When is the season finale? Do you think there's 2 episodes left?
It sounds like they're moving towards it, because next week is the night before the wedding, and I can't imagine the wedding not being the finale. So I imagine, because we're about like episode 11, so I think it's going to be like a 13-episode season. Yeah. Maybe some reunion too.
Well, I hope for good so measure. Because we've got, well, yeah, they'll probably have 3 for this one, but they I don't know how they're going to fill that, but hey, they did it with Beverly Hills this year, so you never know.
Yeah.
But a lot of shows are coming back on. Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah, we're about those to get the big turnover.
Well, we've still got a full schedule here, so.
And you know what? I watched an episode of Welcome to Waverly, and I actually really enjoyed it.
Oh, I watched the final episode last night. I didn't watch all of it. Oh, that was boring. Really? But I didn't see that. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but I was like, it's weird because they have kind of boring people going to the country.
They're
like, oh my god, I'm surprised all these country people aren't complete horrible monsters.
Yeah.
Like, oh jeez.
No, the episode that I saw, the blonde chick got wasted and was like ridiculous and awful. And I was like mortified to be liberal. And then they also they castrated a bull and they were like throwing around the testicles and like swinging a paddle. They were playing like baseball with bull testicles, and then they fed the testicles to everyone. I was like, whoa, this show is like, I was like wincing. I like could not watch the screen. It was like close-ups of bull testicles that have been like snipped off the bull. I was like, ew. What? It was a very intense experience, but I actually really, really enjoyed it. And I was like, it was so nice to see us liberal city folk portrayed as huge, huge idiots. But what
really boring ones. They were very low energy idiots. And then the last one, the girl's like, I feel really bad about how I yelled at everybody and got drunk at that party, so I'm going to apologize. And she goes in there, like, some, I think a hair salon, and she's like, it's me, the crazy drunk girl. And the lady's like, well, I just felt for my friends and stuff who was there. And I was like, oh my god, what a mess this girl is. She went into one of those parties. What did she do in the party? Did she just start telling everybody off?
She had already been drinking during the day, and then when they were driving over there, she asked, is there going to be a Confederate flag at this place? And they're like, yeah, there will be. But the lesbian, like, loves this woman. She's like, this is my homegirl or whatever. And she's like, well, I can't deal with a Confederate flag. And then she was like, well, whatever, it's our host and we're going to be gracious and whatever. And she's like, and even the black woman was like, she was just like, whatever, don't speak for me about this. And this, so she started to get into like a tizzy, like about the fact that there was a Confederate flag, but she was like, okay, fine. So she gets there and she's drunk and she's just being like an awful drunk, like just someone you just don't want to be around. And she's like screaming and being like, let's get a fucking cocktail. And there's like kids there and stuff. So finally she goes outside and she's like, can I ask a question? She's like wasted. She's like doing that thing that drunk girls do where they like smack their lips like, can I ask a question? So who'd you vote for? And they're like, Trump. It's like, oh, okay. And then she just starts like asking, like being like a really annoying drunk person. Like, it was not a way to like have a conversation where you're trying to like bridge the gap between different viewpoints, et cetera, et cetera. She was just basically scolding them, being like, okay, so you believe in hate. You believe in hate. And it's like, oh, girl, that's not how you do it. Like, you may believe that, but that's not how you have the conversation. So it was awkward because she was a messy drunk, and then awkward because it's like, oh, you're being an ambassador for us right now in a certain sense, and you're being terrible at it.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
So, let's go on to the Crappens mailbag, shall we, on that note?
Okay, sure.
So, the Crappens mailbag is where we We solicit questions and comments from the audience. You can go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins, and if you support at the Crappins mailbag level or above, you can write in a question and we will answer it on the show. So we have a bunch of questions. So I like this one from Michael Horn, one of our most avid mailbag contributors. Michael Horn says, "Hi friends, please describe what you think an please describe what you think an average day would be like for Ramona's assistant Pomona."
Oh my god. Poor Pomona.
Poor Pomona.
She probably has to go from the dry cleaners to the coffee shop, and then back to the dry cleaners to see if stuff is done yet, and then back to the coffee shop to ask them why they didn't put enough ice in the drink. And back, you know, it's like back and forth, and Ramona's like, yeah. "You didn't do it right. Go back there again."
"Whoa. Hi, Pomona. This is your boss, Ramona Singing. Hi. Now that Mario and I are back together, what I need you to do is I need you to go to the first dry cleaners and get his dry cleaning, then go to the second one and get my dry cleaning. And then what I want you to do is when you're holding up both sets of dry cleaning, his suit and my dress, which is of course in Ramona blue, which I did not steal from anyone, you hold up both dry cleaning bags and then make the bags make out with each other so you can see what a real relationship is. Thank you so much, Pomona."
"Hey, Pomona, okay, tell me the God to honest truth. I'm standing right here next to somebody. Which one is Avery and which one is me?" "You're wrong, wrong, wrong. Okay, which one has just gotten out of college and which one is me?" "Wrong, wrong." "Fire."
"Whoa."
"Fire, hey."
"Whoa, Pomona, here, I want you to take this roll of Kodak Advantix film and get it developed. I just took 36 selfies of me and Avery. I would have taken more, but you can only take 36 photos. But I took a panoramic one, and I took a square one, and I took a normal size one because I want to take full advantage of my Kodak Advantix camera, okay?"
"Aye. What else is in there?"
Catherine says, "Can Ronnie please do an impression of his mom watching Game of Thrones, preferably drunk and playing canasta?"
"I should make her watch it when I'm back there. I wonder if it's going to be on when we're back in Texas."
"Yeah.
She'd probably be like, oh, Jesus, now I have to look at some boobs? Oh, great. Could you not write anything? Could you not write anything?"
That's her favorite thing to do. She gets so mad at, like, boobs on TV or, like, when people have sex. She's like, oh, can we get back to somebody getting beheaded? I mean, that was good. That was good.
Yeah. I can do an impersonation of my mom watching Game of Thrones. I remember, like, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, whenever it first came out, I guess probably 7 years ago, I remember I was home for like Passover or something, and I was in my bedroom and my parents were watching Game of Thrones in their room, and it was the TV was so loud, and it was like the season finale of season one, and all I heard was all this noise, like there's a whole thing with a fire, and there's fire, 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 and there's all this noise, music, and then after the fire settles, like some dragons, there's a dragon moment, and so you hear this. So it's like all these noises, and then it's like silent for 1 second, and my mom just goes, "This is a weird show." That's all my mom says. One last question. I like this one because it's super meta. Daffy1227 says, "What podcast were these questions answered?" This one.
All of them and none of them.
It's Right Now and Right Never.
They did them on Dumb Gay Politics.
Daffy, unfortunately, we don't know which questions were answered on which podcast, but it's almost always our Friday episodes. So that's a good place to look. I guess, Daffy actually has two other questions, and she's probably like, when are you going to answer my questions?
Yeah,
So, of course, I answer the question about when we're going to answer her questions before we actually address her questions. Okay, Daffy, this is just for you. We'll do the first one, and we'll do another one next week or after that. Ronnie, Ben, you've been chosen to direct the musical The Wiz with the cast from Real Housewives of Atlanta. Sorry, you can't afford candy. Who gets which role? The Witches, Tin Man, The Lion, Scarecrow, The Wiz, Dorothy, and Toto.
Oh, wow. My God. I love that she knows our budget.
Yeah, we can't afford candy burrs. Wow. Now, I've only seen The Wiz once, and I saw the NBC version. I haven't actually seen the original one, much to my boyfriend's dismay. So this may be a little tricky for me.
Well, I think that Dorothy should be Cynthia, because it's like kind of a boring part.
Right.
You know? Like, she just kind of walks around, and you're like, oh my god, like, the best thing about her are her hair and her shoes.
I would make an argument that Dorothy could also be Kim Fields. Because she's just like, I just want to go back to carpool! Oh, how much longer does this road go?
She gets canceled halfway down the road.
Maybe she's like Glenda the Good Witch or something like that. She just sort of like comes in, says something cheerful, and then she's gone.
Okay, and then the Scarecrow would be... Who's afraid of pants on that? God, none of these people Kim are Fields. Afraid. That's the thing.
They're okay, all just yeah, let's Kim make Fields, Kim one Fields. Woman, The Wiz.
Yeah, let's just make Kim Fields the Scarecrow.
Oh, if because... I only had a carpool! Wait, so is Kim Fields a Scarecrow, not the Good Witch, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so then the Tin Man, the Heartless One, would be... I think Phaedra would have to be.
I'm gonna make an argument for Kim because Kim looks like she's made of synthetic parts at this point. Like, she looks like she may have come from a factory.
Okay.
And she is fairly heartless.
Except none of it's made out of tin. It's all like rubber.
That's true.
But that's okay. She could be the Rubber Man.
She could. She could just be one of those like deadly poppy plants or something.
And at the end they finally give her a heart, but there's nowhere for it to fit because there's like her chest cavities are already full.
She takes the heart and like gets it surgically enhanced.
Yeah. She injects the heart with like cement or rubber cement. I'm gonna say the lion would be Nini. It's all like growls and like screams, but then the minute you talk back to it, it's like
yeah,
like a victim.
Yeah. And then the Wiz, is that like Peter? Like Peter's brew? Like acting like he's like so amazing and no, somebody's just a guy behind the curtain full of bullshit.
Peter's brew.
I'm whizzing up some Peter's brew. Welcome, okay. You made it to the Emerald City. And this is Peter's brew. Is
yeah, it's here. Under a, you know, it's under a freeway tunnel.
We just got an exclusive brew, exclusive deal with Emerald City. Bar one, exclusively in Emerald City. Do they call it the Emerald City in The Wiz?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
So who's Glenda the Good Witch? We already said Kim, right? No, someone else.
Glenda, that could be Portia, maybe? Glenda comes in and twerks.
Yeah, Portia. She'll be like... Okay, stay on that yellow brick road, and eventually you can earn enough to get one of my new thongs that I'm selling.
Yeah, and then the Wicked Witch would be...
Kenya, for sure.
Yeah,
throw a house on her ass, okay?
Yeah, Kenya.
Yeah, she's like, her house is kind of underground, so it's natural that she's like kind of under where most houses would be naturally when she lays down.
And Marlo is like... one of the munchkins, like, just trying to, like, break out of the pack, but just is still gonna be left back in the munchkin town. Yeah. Oddly enough, she does not read as a munchkin, but she has the spirit of a munchkin.
Yeah, she does, and really big heels. All right, that feels good. Brings us to the end of an epi there, buddy.
Yeah, everyone, thank you for listening. We got official word that the general tickets for Charleston have actually fully sold out. So there's only a few tickets left of the VIP ones. VIP comes with a meet and greet, y'all, and preferred seating. So, hey, it's a good deal. Well, depends, I guess, what you think about it. But anyway, we have a wonderful weekend, everyone. We'll be back on Monday to talk some Married to Medicine. And have a great one, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.